Welcome again to the Neo Gamer Podcast. It is our 20th episode, and today is Tuesday, May the 22nd. I'm John Callahan, as always, and always handling the video and audio streams for us is Tim. How you doing, Tim?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. It's getting really cold here, at least for our standards here in Australia. So,
yes,
I'm a bit wearing lots of clothes for first time in 8 months.
And by cold, do you mean like 70 degrees, or what do you mean by that?
Oh, 70 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm not sure because I use Celsius, but for Celsius, it's around about 10. So
10. Oh, that's kind of chilly. Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely think that 10 is pretty chilly for us here, too. So, all right.
It's 50 degrees Fahrenheit. So
Yeah. All right. I'll buy that. Again, we're unfortunately we won't be having Larry on our podcast today. He actually his father is celebrating his birthday today, and he will be celebrating with his dad today. He will be back next week, and we'll be very happy to have him back next week.
Yeah, definitely.
But we've got a lot to talk about today. We're literally 2 weeks away from E3. 2 weeks from now, I will hopefully be talking to you guys from the Los Angeles Convention Center, where it'll be super noisy and super busy, and I'll have a lot more to talk about in terms of upcoming games. So we're really looking forward to that. Before we do that, we've got a lot of other games to talk about. First one we're going to talk about is Max Payne 3, which I know, Tim, you finished playing. And interesting that we timed it right, because Take-Two Interactive, the parent company of Rockstar Games, announced today that Max Payne 3 has already sold 3 million copies in just its first week of release, which is really good for a game that's coming out in the middle of May. So I think that that shows that there was a lot of people who wanted to play this game. So what did you think about it?
Yeah, well, it definitely deserves having sold 3 million copies, because I think it's absolutely fantastic, definitely cool. Game of the Year material. And I guess the reason why I liked it so much is the fact that the cutscenes like blend into the game just so well without any loading screens or anything, that you sort of, there's no gaps in the gameplay. So you feel like it's sort of a cross between a gaming experience and a sort of a cinema storytelling experience at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it allows you to engage so much with the story that they're trying to, you know, tell you about, you know, Max Payne, and all about how he's depressed, he's taking drugs and alcohol all the time, and then he goes and he's having to protect these people in, you know, Sao Paulo in Brazil, and, you know, the fact that they've just decided to go with this sort of awesome gameplay where you've got all the slow motion bullet time stuff that Max Payne's famous for from the old games, and then you've got the cut scenes, which they're not like, they are pre-rendered, but they're pre-rendered with the same quality as the game, so there's no quality difference, and it's just that sort of stuff makes it really good. And I played on hard, and it was quite difficult. So
really,
yeah. And the hard isn't the hardest difficulty. Once you finish the game, you unlock hardcore and old school mode, which I hear are even more challenging.
Mm.
So yeah, it's been really, really enjoyable for me. And another thing that I really liked was the fact that, at least for the Xbox 360 version, you don't get a huge amount of achievements from just completing the game. Like, I got about 200 game score from completing the game. But then a lot of the achievements are actual achievements. Like, you have to go and, like, I don't know, shoot 8 people while you're just bullet timing from hanging from a chain, or, you know.
Wow.
Kill 10 people in one bullet time and stuff like that. So the achievements that are there actually encourage you to play the game, you know, in new and interesting ways. And I think that's really, really good from Rockstar's to do that. So
excellent.
If you haven't yet picked up Max Payne 3, definitely pick it up. And I haven't actually played Max Payne 1 or 2.
Really? They're really good.
Yeah, I've heard they're really good. So I'm going to be picking those up to sort of fill out the backstory. Because they didn't really go a lot into what happened before Max Payne 3 in this game. I guess they assume that people have just played it. And that kind of made it a bit they kind of made it somewhat confusing to start with,
Yeah.
and there were some portions of the game where you like a whole level is a flashback, and the times like that where sometimes it's hard to remember what was happening before that once you come out of the level and it sort of shocks you like, oh wait, that was actually a flashback. So I guess that
Oh.
my only complaint with the game really is that some of the story bits can be confusing when they do the flashbacks because it takes the flashback so long. But
Yeah,
yeah, I
yeah.
really enjoyed pretty much every other aspect of the game, and ooh, it'll be tight between that and the gameplay aspect of Mass Effect 3 for my game of the year so far. So yeah.
Yeah. Looks like all the games are there are all the good games are coming out the first half of the year, which is kind of weird. But yeah.
I know.
That's cool.
Really, yeah.
The Excellent. So you never played Max Payne 1 or 2?
No, they came out when I was a young kid, so probably, that's probably one of the reasons I haven't played it yet. But judging by what I've seen in Max Payne 3, and I've heard the others are so good, I'm definitely going to go back and
Yeah.
check those out.
Now, yeah, those two first two games were made by Remedy, who later went on to make the Alan Wake games, and this one was actually made by Rockstar Vancouver. So there's probably a little bit of a difference in terms of their sensibility, but that's cool. And the PC version is actually coming out on June 1st, so I'll probably be checking that version out and see how cool that looks.
Yeah, definitely check it
So,
out. And still, it looks visually very good on the Xbox 360 as well. So, yeah. And how they got enough
Yeah.
loading screens for that visual quality, I'm really not sure. But it's good effort
Really?
by Rockstar.
Excellent. And also, of course, we've reported on that Max Payne's going to have a bunch of DLC content, basically for the next 6 7 months or so. So, sounds a
Yeah.
lot of it will be mu mo a lot of it will be multiplayer, but I think some of it will probably be single player too, hopefully.
Yeah,
So,
were they including a Rockstar Pass for that? Like one of their.
yeah, I think they are. Yeah, they have some kind of Rockstar Online Pass where you can get 33% off. You can get
Yeah.
you get that and you get all the stuff for less money than you would separately. So yeah.
Yeah, I did
So
that for
yeah.
L.A. Noire, and it was really good value. I got the four DLC packs for about half price. So I think
Excellent.
if you've enjoyed the game, then you should definitely pick up the pass, which I will have to do because I'm looking forward to any DLC for the game. And I haven't actually
Excellent.
played multiplayer yet. So
Really?
yeah,
Huh.
because it's completely separate from the single player. Like you don't have to play it. There's no reason to play it if you just enjoy the single player, which I guess why I've played it yet. So I think I'll be checking that out in the next week, see what it's like.
Cool. All right. Well, excellent. I obviously that's a big recommendation from Tim. We'll definitely be checking that game out. And like I said, it seems to be pretty successful for Take-Two. And they needed success because their revenues for the first quarter of 2012 weren't all that great. So they need a big hit right now. And they're gonna actually coming out with a bunch of games coming out this year. Of course, they'll have Borderlands 2. They'll have XCOM Enemy Unknown. Spec Ops: The Line is coming out in June. I don't know how well that will do. And of course, the big rumor is that Grand Theft Auto 5 might be popping up by the end of the year, but that hasn't been confirmed yet. So,
Yeah, I hope it does
Take-Two
pop up.
is. Yep, we'll see how that might challenge Max Payne 3 for Game of the Year. But if fingers crossed. So we'll see how that comes out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say I didn't actually play Diablo 3 this week. I have been so busy with E3 stuff and some other stuff. I literally have been swamped trying to get appointments done and, trying to get some pre-E3 interviews done for posting on the site. So I haven't even had a chance to play but Diablo 3. But it looks like it's probably a good thing because it looks like a bunch of folks from who have already gotten the game have already had their accounts hacked.
Oh,
For their
really?
battle.net. Oh yeah. I'm not sure exactly how they were done. I'm sure a bunch of folks, there were some people who figured out how to do it via phishing techniques or some other kind of techniques. But Blizzard sets up this off has an authenticator for battle.net. It's basically a USB drive that you put into your PC and it's supposed to make your account more secure. But supposedly these hacks are breaking in even with the authenticator in place. We'll see what. A lot of people are not happy about it.
Yeah, that kind of sucks for them. People are getting their accounts hacked.
Yeah, there was a web Eurogamer, which is a well-known website. One of their writers got his account hacked, and the reason he knows is because his editor tried to chat with him in Battle.net and apparently talked with Anna instead. And Anna said, "Oh, this account was sold to me." And says, "Oh, I don't think so. So I'll be reporting you now."
Wow.
Yeah, so that's not good. So Blizzard has come out and said that we take this kind of stuff very seriously, and we've always seen, whenever we launch a new game, no matter what it is, we've always seen an increase in hacked accounts, and we'll be looking into this very well. So, yeah. So if you have a Battle.net account for Diablo 3, make sure your password is secure and you don't click on any emails or websites that you're not supposed to. So that's the best advice we can have at this point.
Yeah, that really sucks. I guess people have to watch out, make sure they don't fall for anything, you know?
That's the way, I mean, this kind of thing happened with the Xbox 360 a while back, a few months ago. There, people were having their Xbox 360, Xbox Live accounts being broken into, and it was all about FIFA 12. People were using their accounts to buy FIFA 12 extra content and stuff like that. So I don't know if you recall that or not.
I do, I remember that.
Yeah.
It was a big thing.
Yeah. So that sounds like something similar is happening with Diablo 3. So just keep in mind on that. So last week, you and I discussed the 38 Studios situation. Basically, the state of Rhode Island gave 38 Studios a bunch of money. 38 Studios said, "We're going to hire all these people for your stay. It's going to be great." And then last week they figured out that, they've run out of money and they can't pay back their initial loan payment. So there's been some development since then on that. One is that earlier last week they actually gave them their check for $1.25 million. And then they said, "Wait, don't cash it yet. We don't have insufficient funds." So they gave him a bad check at first.
Oh, wow. That's not good.
Come on, guys. I mean, you're supposed to be a professional company. You don't even know how much money you have in your bank account. That's rule number one.
Yeah, make sure you write a check for money that you actually have.
So they said, so they can't, and then they finally gave them a check which actually had the right amount late on Friday. And earlier this week, they announced that 38 Studios had actually missed payroll for some of their employees. And now it looks like they're going to be laying off some employees. The funny thing is that, none of this is coming from 38 Studios. None of this information is coming from 38 Studios. This is coming from the state of Rhode Island, and their governor. Their governor is making all these announcements for them. 38 Studios has been almost totally silent about what's going on with their company. The only thing that they've done is that late on Friday they released a quick video of their fantasy MMO Project Copernicus, but it was basically just a flyby video. There was no gameplay. You just basically saw a flyby of some of their environments that they built for the game.
Yeah, I saw that. Not very exciting, to be honest. Didn't really show anything at all.
I mean, anyone can create a flyby of levels for a game with no characters and no gameplay in it. That's a pretty half-hearted attempt to show that they're actually working on the game, which is actually supposed to be coming out in June of 2013. So they don't have much time. I mean, that's a little over a year away to make a huge, massively multiplayer game that's supposed to rival something like World of Warcraft. So,
yeah, I think they're cutting it a bit fine if they're just showing, basically a teaser trailer for the game at this stage.
It's definitely not looking good.
Yeah, it's not looking good for them.
And I'm very, very surprised that this whole thing has kind of blown up in their faces. Speaking of massively multiplayer games, some bad news that we just reported on today. BioWare has confirmed that they're laying off a number of team members at their BioWare Austin studio, which have made Star Wars The Old Republic. This was not totally unexpected. A few weeks ago, they announced that the game had actually lost 400,000 subscribers in 3 months, which
Ouch.
Brings it down to about 1.3 million monthly subscribers. They're not saying exactly how many people were laid off, although I've heard, you know, unofficial word that that there's quite a few people being there are now being no longer employed. Although they claim that they still have a substantial team working on updates to the game. So we'll see what happens there. I predict that within 6 months it'll go to a free to play route. I just think that this monthly subscriber only business model is dead for the most part for most games.
Yeah.
Games.
And the unfortunate thing is that with an MMO, there's like loads and loads of content in the game itself. So
sure.
Like making it free to play is sort of like, I mean, gamers are getting a really amazing deal because everything becomes free, all the huge loads of quests and all the, you know, the huge, you know, areas to explore, that all becomes free. But for the publisher, you know, they've spent a huge amount of time making the game, and yet, you know, they're making it free. It's sort of, they're not being paid an adequate amount for what they've actually created. So it's, yeah, it's a bit disappointing
right.
for the publisher that they have to go that route, you know, these days.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, obviously having the Star Wars license is a big deal, and that obviously makes a game such as that more appealing, you know, for a mass audience as opposed to something who, you know, go to some no-name fantasy MMO that you've never heard of. Oh, Star Wars? Oh, I know what Star Wars is, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's, you know, it's a vastly different situation than it was 8 to 10 years ago when, you know, we had just EverQuest and World of Warcraft and a few others, you know, around. You know, there are like tons and tons of MMO games out there, and all
yeah.
they're trying to compete for a relatively limited amount of audience, you know, and you know, you have one or two ways you can do that. You can hope to create a game that's going to appeal to a lot of people, or you can hope to create a game that's free to play and hope that the audience that will come to free to play will want to purchase, you know, in-game items and transactions and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
And it's also the fact, go ahead.
I think a lot of the market these days is sort of gearing towards more the like single player RPG experience, but
mm-hmm.
with added sort of multiplayer elements, sort of like Borderlands, the original one, where you could bring a mate in, you know, to explore, you know, do the quests with you. But it wasn't necessarily massively multiplayer because, you know, there weren't thousands of online people in the same world. But
right.
I think people prefer the experience of just playing with your friends in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly do, and I know a lot of people that I play games with, they don't play MMOs because, you know, they prefer dealing with just NPCs or playing with their friends. So yeah, I think MMOs are sort of becoming a niche thing these days. So
slowly, I think
slowly,
they would become
yeah.
I mean, there's actually very few MMOs made for consoles, and I think that would actually help, you know, the whole
yeah.
industry.
Then again, there's a lot
also,
of first-person shooter market on the consoles with, you know, Call of Duty. I guess a lot of
yeah.
multiplayer people play that on the
True.
On the Xbox
True.
And PS3.
And of course, there's, you know, we have all these tablets and smartphones that you could possibly play MMO games on. You know,
yeah.
there's ways to do it without having to concentrate just on the PC market, but that's just me. I think that EA and BioWare probably thought back way back when they came up with this game that the PC market would still be a large enough market to support it, and it's just not anymore. You know, it's just not for this kind of a game. I mean, that's not to say that other games won't sell well on the PC. They do, but if you're going to support a big, massive, you know, hugely budgeted monthly subscriber based MMO game, you're going to have to branch out a little more, I think.
Yeah, and I remember when The Old Republic was first announced, and I just thought again and again that I wish it was just a single-player game, because that would have made me buy it. And many people, I'm sure, were also like that. They were like, oh, why wasn't it a Knights of the Old Republic 3 or something like that? Or, you know, it's just a bit disappointing for people like me who don't play MMOs.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, that's so much for that. There was some interesting news that popped up early this morning. In a rather unfortunate way, as part of the current lawsuit between Activision and the ousted founders of Infinity Ward, apparently a contract has popped up that basically contains a little bit of the details between Activision and Bungie on their next game franchise, which has been unannounced. I mean, this was, you know, Activision announced that they were going to work with Bungie in 2010 on an all-new game franchise, and this contract revealed that they actually have four games planned, which are basically these science fiction shooter games, but with some kind of MMO persistent elements to them. Not much else, but they have four games slated for release, the first being coming out in the fall of 2013, and here's the interesting part for me. That's going to come out for both the Xbox 360 and the next version of the Xbox console, which basically confirms that Microsoft is going to come out with the next version of the Xbox 360 in the fall of 2013.
Yeah, that
or
does
that was a plan.
Yeah, it does make it, you know, a good case that it's coming out soon.
I mean, contracts change, schedules change. You know, this contract was signed in April of 2010. But at least at that point, it looks like Microsoft was planning on launching the next Xbox console in the fall of 2013. And I think that doesn't sound like anything has changed. There's nothing in the rumor mill that has indicated that that timeline has been extended for any point. So there you go. Next Xbox sometime in the fall of 2013. There you go. I think we can pretty much say that's firm until Microsoft says different. It's also interesting that this is actually going to be a timed exclusive. This Bungie's next game will be a timed exclusive for the Xbox 360 platform for at least a year. They said that a PS3 version might come out a year later in 2014. And then the next game in this series will be coming out for Xbox 360, the next Xbox, the PS3, the next version of the PlayStation console, and the PC, all in 2015. So
it's a long way down the track.
Yeah, well, they have to plan all this stuff.
And all these games are different, right? They're not in the same sort of... They're not like making four games of the same like story, are they? They're four different games. Is that...
I think they're all in the same universe. So yeah, I think they're all in the same kind of universe. They're under the code name Destiny. So the plan is apparently to release the first Destiny game in 2013. Then they're going to come out with an expansion pack and the PS3 version in 2014. The second game comes out in 2015. An expansion pack for the second game comes out in 2015. And then so on for two more games and expansion packs. So it's pretty long.
Way in the future there.
Way in the future. Now, Activision has already got a clause in this contract which says they can cancel it after the first game if it doesn't sell 5 million copies within 6 months, which, you know, considering Bungie's track record, I think that's pretty conservative. So unless it's a total disaster, I think they're pretty safe on that one. So that continues that. So, and they also have another game that they're working on, a kind of a prototype that a small portion of the Bungie team is working on with the code name Marathon, which, if anyone who knows, you know, Bungie lore knows, that's the first game that Bungie, the first person shooter that Bungie made way back when they made games just for the Mac platform. That doesn't necessarily mean they're making a new Marathon game, that's just the code name for what they're developing. So that was kind of interesting to see. One thing that we definitely will see at E3 2012 in 2 weeks is the first public demo of Unreal Engine 4. Wired actually posted the first article and the first, screenshots of this demo, which was actually shown behind closed doors at GDC in March. It sounds pretty cool.
It's about time that they, replaced Unreal Engine 3. I mean, that's been used for, 8 years, is it?
I think it came out in 2006 with the first Gears of War.
2006.
Yeah. So it's been about 6 years.
6 years, yeah.
It's been a long time
for the one engine.
So it sounds like it looks like that they're trying to ramp up Unreal Engine 4 to come out around the same time the next Xbox coming out, which is the fall of 2013. So, and they're supposed to show a demo of it at E3 in June, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's going to be at either Microsoft's or Sony's pre-E3 press conference. So I'm trying to get a line on that, and hopefully we'll be able to check that out very, very soon. But it's supposed to be, they're talking about how the demo showed, all of these fiery embers floating around on the screen, and supposedly in Unreal Engine 3, if you had just one of these floating embers, it would slow down the performance of the game a lot, never mind millions of things, and so it sounds like it's going to require a lot of hardware. One of the more interesting things is it's actually supposed to be easier to develop games with this Unreal Engine 4 than it would be normally. It's supposed to have a lot of scripting language that even non-programmers will be able to do, and to put in any kind of art and special effects inside of it. So that should be pretty cool. And obviously, Epic has made a lot of money off the Unreal Engine 3 licensing. There's been over 100 games that have been made based on Unreal Engine 3. So we'll see what happens. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing that. We may not get an actual next Xbox or next PlayStation demo at E3, but we'll definitely get to see what games with that kind of hardware will run on with the Unreal Engine 4 demo. So essentially, we're getting a very sneak peek of what the next generation of games on those consoles will be like. So that's better than nothing.
Yeah.
I'm definitely looking forward to seeing that. Some other stuff that's popped up on the news is that did you see the leak of the Wii U tablet controller redesign that popped up over the weekend?
I'm actually taking a look at that literally right now, and
wow. We're reading our minds. It's amazing.
No, it looks huge.
It's always been huge. But I think the most interesting thing about this redesign, and for those of you who are listening to this, we're talking about a leak made by a developer over at TT Games, the guys that make the Lego games, the Lego Batman and Harry Potter and Star Wars games.
Yeah.
He leaked image out on his Twitter account over the weekend, and obviously he wasn't supposed to, because that thing got deleted pretty quick, but not before it was copied. So good job, people who check the internet every single second of the day. So the main changes between the tablet controller that we saw at E3 2011 and the picture on above is that the two knobs on top of the console had basically been replaced with true analog sticks, and not the little knob things that you saw at first, which I think will actually make the controller at least easier to control for a gamer. I'm still not thrilled on the actual design itself, but at least there'll be some kind of more tactile response on the Wii U controller this time. Than for hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I have the problem with is that it does look absolutely massive. I mean, I'm just holding an Xbox controller, and that's not that's not big. But that looks even bigger than, a 10-inch tablet that I have lying around here.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine that that is going to be a good thing to hold for a long period of time gaming.
I can't see how that's going to be anything good either. I've always been skeptical about this tablet controller ever since they first revealed it. I just, you know, here's the thing. The Xbox 360 controller, and I'm sure you'll back me up on this, Tim, is possibly the best single designed game controller ever, in my view.
The Xbox One, yeah.
Yeah.
It's comfortable.
It's comfortable. You can hold it in for hours. All the sticks and the D-pad and everything else is placed pretty much perfectly. I mean, you could tell that Microsoft learned its lessons from the original Xbox and that massive controller.
That was bloody huge.
Oh my gosh, that was massive. So yeah, they learned a lot of lessons. You know, Sony seems to want to stick with that whatever they call their design for the PlayStation 3. I've never been fond of it myself. The GameCube controller I actually quite like. You know, not as good as the Xbox 360, but I thought it was pretty comfortable. But of course you have the Wii controller, which is, you know, it's cool for like 5 minutes for me, and then it gets kind of hard to deal with. And
it's good as a wand, but it's not really good as something that you hold to actually use the buttons on the controller. So
I agree. So I don't know how this thing. I mean, I didn't get a chance to check out the thing in my hand at E3 2011, but I definitely hopefully will get a chance to check out this Wii U tablet controller in 2 weeks. Some other things that are interesting. There's these two rather odd, strange-looking square indentations in the console, with, you know, that have rounded edges, one on the left side and one on the bottom right, and no one seems to know what the heck they're supposed to be for yet.
That's kind of strange.
It may be just a developer thing. It may be just a developer thing. For some kind of diagnostic stuff, I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell. So we'll see what happens. They did, in fact, move the start and I think the select buttons that were placed actually on the bottom to the side of their home button that you see on the bottom, on the very bottom of the tablet. They actually moved those from the original design to the right. So I think that's probably a good idea. But
yeah, it seems like an easy place to press the buttons.
Yeah, I think so. So, and aside from that, so those are the major changes. And obviously, Nintendo was probably not too happy to see that pictured out. But too late.
Already seen it.
Sorry. So we'll see what happens in 2 weeks when Nintendo holds their pre-E3 press conference. By the way, I have been invited to all of the big major E3 press conferences, by the way. I throw that out there for all awesome. You know, first one is Microsoft. Second one will be EA. Third will be Ubisoft. And the final one will be Sony. And that's all on Monday, June 5th? 4th or 5th? Is
it 4th? You're going to have 4th? A very busy day that day.
Yeah. It was a very busy day last year, and it'll be a very busy day this year. I'm actually glad that we've got some new live blogging stuff. We didn't have that live blogging stuff last time, but I think we had it set up. We set up for Neil and
CES, I think.
Yes, yeah. So I'll be looking forward to using that for E3 stuff next year, for this year. And then, of course, Tuesday is the big one where Nintendo will probably reveal a lot more about the Wii U, including, you know, full games instead of demos. They're not supposed to announce pricing, though. They're supposed to announce pricing later on in the year, but as far as we know, it's still supposed to be coming out by the fall of 2012. So, looking forward to that. So that was kind of pretty major. Some other interesting bits of news. I thought this was kind of interesting. Tim, I don't know how you feel about this. I said you're not necessarily a PC gamer, but I thought it was interesting. Digital Illusions, folks that make the Battlefield games, you know, also developed the Frostbite 2 engine, which is being used in a number of games from EA outside of the Battlefield franchise. Earlier this week, one of the programmers basically announced that for some PC versions of the games coming in 2013, you'll have to have a 64-bit OS to run these games, which I think is pretty major. I mean, you know, PC games, I mean, I think almost all PC games still have to run on 32-bit because they have to, you know, they have to kind of run still on Windows XP, Windows Vista.
The majority of users use 32-bit on those.
Yeah.
At least on XP, definitely most people use 32-bit for that.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, Windows 7 actually has seen more of a proliferation of 64-bit gaming. You know, I think more and more gamers are choosing to get the 64-bit version rather than the 32-bit version.
Yeah, I think I asked on a poll, one of our weekend polls a couple of weeks ago, whether you use 32-bit or 64-bit, and most people did respond 64-bit. So I think I think it won't be a huge problem, but for the making games just on 64-bit, you will lose out on that market of people that don't have 64-bit Windows. So strange. Yep.
On the other hand, it will definitely allow games that to have more hardware. You know, be able to access more memory, be able to access more of the, you know, capabilities of a graphics card. You know, be able to do just more cool stuff. You know, and quite frankly, you know, with the next generation of consoles, just, you know, about 18 months around the bend, you know, the PCs are going to kind of look not going to look quite as good as they have been. I mean, they still probably look as good as you know, a high-end console. But for the past few years, you know, high-end PC games have pretty much trumped console games in terms of graphics, in terms of, you know, things like that.
Yeah, so, definitely.
So the move to 64-bit is definitely needed to get, you know, PC games to have more hardware capabilities. So
It could mean less loading screens as well, being able to access more RAM. So that's
a
bonus, because loading screens suck.
Loading screens always suck. Oh gosh, I can't imagine why games even have loading screens on the PC anymore, to be honest. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But anyway, some other stuff. A couple of games got pushed back. Actually, three games actually got, several games got pushed back from a planned fall 2012 release to the first quarter of 2013. Did we mention the South Park game that got pushed back from fall 2013 to first quarter 2013? Did we mention that?
Oh, possibly. We mentioned a lot of games that were delayed last week.
Yeah.
So that might have slipped in there somewhere.
Aliens Colonial Marines, Gearbox Software's movie-based shooter, that's got pushed back to, I think, February of 2013. And they also just announced that DMC, the reboot of Capcom's Devil May Cry franchise, got moved back to January 15th, 2013. So a lot of games are getting pushed back to 2013. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, but there's still a lot of good games that will be coming out this year. So
yeah,
you know, there's not a huge amount to worry about in that respect.
No, not at all. But just an interesting trend. We've seen, you know, of course we mentioned BioShock Infinite got pushed back to 2013.
That's the worst one.
I'm still steaming on that, but, you know, that's just me. So there's that. And quite a few, I think did you see the Marvel Heroes MMO trailer that was released today?
No, I don't think I did. Is that posted on NeoGamer?
That's posted on NeoGamer, yeah. Yeah, it's basically...
Find it somewhere.
It's, you know, it's been a game that's been in development for quite a while at Gazillion Entertainment. You know, though, it's kind of interesting because I've been following, you know, the development of a MMO version of a Marvel Superheroes game for quite a while. I remember several years ago, Vivendi Games, back when they weren't merged with Activision, they were supposed to make a Marvel superhero MMO game. That came and went without any announcement or even a cancellation of an announcement. Then Microsoft announced they were going to work with Cryptic Studios on a Marvel Superheroes MMO game. Made a big deal about that. That was supposed to come out for both the PC and the Xbox 360. That got canceled. And now Gazillion Entertainment announced a few years ago that they had gotten the rights, and they actually released a trailer today, which looked an awful lot like Diablo, to be honest. I don't know if you're looking at it right now, but the gameplay looks an awful lot like an action RPG game rather than a standard MMO game. Of course, it's supposed to be a free-to-play game from the get-go, and not necessarily one that's a hugely budgeted game. But with the Avengers movie doing so well, I think that Gazillion kind of wanted to get word out that yes, we're making this game and it's going to be coming out soon, and this is what it's going to look like. So, but no release date yet. So
yeah, it looks cool just looking at watching the trailer now. So
yeah. One interesting thing is that you'll actually be able to play as a Marvel superhero, which is something that the DC Universe Online doesn't allow. You're supposed to create your own character, but you're supposed to pal with Superman and Batman. Whereas in this Marvel Heroes game, you can actually be Wolverine. You can actually be Spider-Man or The Thing or Thor.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and you'll be able to customize the look of your character to look different from the normal, regular Marvel superhero. So, we'll simply see how that one works out. Quite a few games, announcements, and we're probably going to see a bunch of games being revealed and announced in the next 2 weeks before E3. I'm already exhausted, and we're 2 weeks away, Tim.
I'm
not ready to. I'm about ready to take it to call it a night, but I have to get through next 2 or 3 weeks to get all this stuff done. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be a very, very busy June at both NeoGamer and NinoWin. We're supposed to have the Windows 8 preview release coming out for the first week of June. Supposedly maybe even June 1st. There's supposed to be a lot of Mac based announcements coming out from the Apple Worldwide Developers Conference. So that should be a bunch of stuff coming out. And then we may even get some Windows Phone 8 announcements coming out later this June. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And of course the Galaxy S3 is released on May 30, so hopefully I'll be getting my review done also in June. So
great.
A lot of stuff in June, not to mention that I actually have exams then, so...
Oh, yeah. Well, good luck with those exams, Tim. Oh, my gosh. So, before we wrap this podcast up I'll just quickly look over, upcoming games. I don't think there's really anything too major coming out this next week. I think I could be wrong. I don't recall. Of course, this week we had, was Ghost Recon Future Soldier. That's coming out this week. Next week it looks like we have the Batman Arkham Asylum Game of the Year edition. Looks like that's the major one. Resistance Burning Size, that's the PS Vita game. And I'm sure that Larry is our PS Vita expert. I'm sure he'll give us some info on that.
Hopefully it's a good AAA title for the PS Vita, because they definitely need some solid games for the platform.
Definitely need something for that. And as far as PC games, I'm kind of looking at the Steam thing. I don't think anything is really coming out that much next week, except I think for Max Payne 3 for the PC is coming out on June 1st. I think that's really the only major one that's really coming out that's of any constitute. So we'll kind of a relatively dull next week in terms of new game releases compared to the past few weeks. So like I said, I'm going to be very busy for the next week and 2 weeks getting things done. Like I said, we still have a sponsor. The folks at Online Warmongers who have a free-to-play first-person shooter game, War Inc. They'll be sponsoring our E3 2012 coverage, so be looking for that.
Nice.
And And Larry will be back next week, thankfully, and we'll be able to talk a lot more probably about E3 and our plans for E3. And hopefully 2 weeks from that, we'll be I'll be broadcasting live from E3. So looking forward to that. But until then, we'll be signing off on for this edition of the podcast. Thank you again for listening. For those of you who listen to our live stream, thanks again to all of you who have listened in after our recording. And of course, Tim will be posting this recorded version up on for everyone to download and listen to presently. But we really appreciate you guys listening.
Yeah, and if you can subscribe to us, the RSS feed for the NeoGamer podcast. You just get updates every week when we've uploaded our recorded podcast. So that's something to do if you like listening to it, but the time is too inconvenient for you.
Exactly. So until the next week, I'm John Callahan speaking for Tim. And thank you again for listening, and we will see you next week. Until then, bye-bye for now.
Yeah, catch you later, everyone.